paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Oh, yes, indeed. A little holiday season for you.
A little holiday schmoliday.
Hi, Jen Bosworth. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. I'm happy to be here with you. With these funky beats.
This is a good funky beat. Jasmine Cooper producing the show. That's right.
Just listen to the whole time. Just the music.
Jasmine's going to make us cooler than we are.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the goal of this show.
Yeah.
You got a lot of work to do, Jasmine. Although, Jen, you got something going on.
Oh, thanks.
My name is Mark Harmon. We are the Patty Vasquez pre-late fill-in tonight with you till 2 a.m. Very excited to be here. Jen, this is the first time we've ever worked together. I'm very nervous.
I am nervous, and I'm also excited because I spent a lot of time listening to you, my husband and I.
I apologize for that, but that's very nice of you and your husband.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
good to see you in real life.
This is real life. We're right here, right now. And we want to actually start the show with you guys, with you specifically, because it's holiday season, right? And everybody's getting geared up for a Christmas extravaganza, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, then I'm sure you've got some other something.
There's got to be something going on.
You got something planned. And I think it's a time of year where people... The anxiety sort of builds, right? You got to have the right gift, and you know that you're going to see that, like, Uncle Louie or your...
Everyone's got an Uncle Louie.
Right. Or maybe it's actually not even Uncle Louie. It could be your dad. It could be your mom. It could be...
A sibling.
Yes. Yeah, it could be brother, sister. Absolutely. Sibling, for sure. So we want to... have a little bit of a therapy here to start the show.
Let's just be honest. We're going to have therapy.
Yeah, and listen, this is, I'm not going to say this is about me and because I don't necessarily celebrate the Christmas holiday, but I will be spending an entire week with my family coming up starting on Sunday. And it might perhaps be true that I'm thinking about...
It could be slightly personal.
Well, that's a lot of time to spend with your family, Jenna, an entire week, you know, and...
I have a three-day limit.
Three-day limit.
Yeah, and maybe our listeners have some sort of limit like that, too.
Right, I mean, every single meal, I mean, we're talking dad, brother, niece, and everybody's lovely. I love them all, I do.
Right.
But that's a significant period of time to, you know, dive in where, you know, you got to have conversations, and people asking inappropriate stuff.
That's what I was going to say. They'll ask you questions that maybe you don't feel like answering, but you're on the spot. And so if you're like me, you just start fumbling around, and then they think that you have a problem. You know what I mean?
Well, and we're both in that early 40s realm where, you know, I'm a single guy. When are you going to get married? When's your career going to stabilize?
Yep.
When are you going to, you know, make some money? That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I.
Rob, you know that up there, buddy?
What about you, Rob?
I'm all too familiar with those refrains.
Why aren't you having children? And I say, because I don't like them.
Well, then that's a fair response. Not everybody has to have children.
Right, but people do not like that. Just like, you know, if you say, I like being single, people say, what? You know, they think there's something wrong with you.
Well, no, we're just jealous.
Oh. Well, there might be something wrong with you, too, but that's a different show.
Well, and listen, everybody's... There's a different thing here. You've got the questions that come, and then there's also the person that comes to your Christmas Day party, right, and he or she, for that matter, and perhaps drinks too much, and then the next thing you know, they either want to get super touchy-touchy...
Or, yeah, my uncle loves to, when we're all together, and I like him a lot, but he gets really into holding hands and doing like a prayer / seance. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
It like borders on let's talk to our deceased relatives.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a little bit much. By the way, the start of the show is sponsored by Waltz Food Centers.
Okay.
as we get it going. You're 312-981-7200. We'd like to hear your horror stories, what goes on in your family, and we'll actually try to help you. And whoever has the best story, we will give you a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. 312-981-7200. Because I think a lot of people, when they're going to that Christmas party, you know, that there's like one foot on the gas pedal and there's one on the brake.
There's one hoping, you know, that your tire goes flat. You know what I mean?
Right. Or you're going to come up with some mysterious illness. You know, I'll see you next year.
Right. Right. I really would love to be there, but I just have this, you know, whooping cough.
Have you ever gone whooping cough?
No.
No?
No.
Have you ever bailed out of a family? See, like, we were supposed to have, like, a big family thing last Sunday. My brother just got mysteriously sick. He just wasn't there. I've seen him twice since. He's...
You're like, you really recovered,
I wasn't. I felt like he could have been there. But he just didn't want to go, which I respect that on some level.
I do. And sometimes it's hard to tell the truth. You know, it's more, quote, polite to say I'm sick, even though most of us will know that you're probably not sick. But that's just the way it goes. No, I haven't done that. I've pulled migraine a lot.
The migraine.
That's a good one.
You can't dispute
and
a migraine.
And I do have them, but, you know.
Right, right. 312-981-7200. How are you feeling about this holiday season? And maybe, you know, you might be going to do something different. Maybe you're going to give that loved one or that family person, that your mom, your dad, your grandma, that you haven't given that extra special hug to. Maybe this is the time to do it. This is the year where you show that extra, you look them in the eye and you say, you know what, you've really been a special person
in my life.
I'm
like going to cry. That was brilliant.
Is there someone you want to do that for, Jen?
Well, a lot of my family is dead, so no. but I really think that you make a good point, though, that, you know, some years are the year.
Right.
Really get real.
I mean, this is, you know, for my family trip, I mean, it's number 90 for my dad. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's 90 years old.
Wow. Your dad is 90.
90 years old. Can you believe that?
Guy's in great shape.
He
does look good, Robbo.
He does.
I appreciate that.
I've met the man, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's diving in there. But, you know, there's always something that you probably haven't said that you should say, right?
Yeah.
I really appreciate this. I'm not saying you're going anywhere tomorrow, but just in case you do, that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, let him know.
Got to let him know.
Rob, why don't you do something special this holiday season?
You know what? I trundle off to work 5 days a week. I bring home a paycheck every other week. I allow my wife to spend it as she sees fit. I mean, that's pretty special, as far as I'm concerned.
My favorite is trundle. I haven't heard that since 1920.
I haven't heard that one. 312-981-7200. We'll take some of your calls coming back here. Just explain what you're up against this holiday season. Who you're gonna, maybe it could be just simple as this dude's got the worst breath ever.
Gonna say that, or this person, yeah, just hugs a little too long, and you're related.
The extra hugger.
Yes.
And maybe like touches where they shouldn't touch.
Well, yes.
Perhaps that.
Yeah.
WGN. Welcome to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I am Mark Carmen. You are Jen Bosworth. We are here for you. We're talking holiday fun and holiday nightmares all at the same time.
Yeah, they cross over.
312-981-7200. We're hooking you up with Lou Malnati's for kind of your best holiday horror stories and who you don't want to see this Christmas or will be seeing, and maybe we can, like, help you.
Maybe we could do a little therapy light.
312-981-7200. Some of the text coming in. It's good to have a family it's good to have a close family that loves you in a different city. That from the 847. Love you. I seem to have come down with leprosy is also his excuse.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. And here's on the other side of the corner with the 630. I'm sad I don't get to visit my family in Arizona. We are all a little crazy, but I'm going to miss everyone. Now, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Celebrate everybody's weirdness.
Yeah.
And different...
Accept however. The weirdness.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to do.
Sometimes it is.
But I think we're better off if we go in with acceptance and small expectations.
That's so beautiful.
I should coin that.
You should. Acceptance and small expectations. I like that. 312-981-7200. Nick, you got a joke on your girlfriend?
Yeah, so it was actually a family thing.
Okay.
It was first time meeting her parents. You know, I was cracking dry jokes the whole time, and one didn't go so well during the Christmas dinner. And that's what I've been known for, basically.
Wait a second. What do you do?
I first time meeting my girlfriend's parents, it was a Christmas dinner. And I was cracking dry jokes pretty much the whole night. Nobody was getting them. They had a table. It was a dinner table set up. They had wine glasses with ice water, and I was drinking the ice water out of the wine glass, and I made the comment that this wine is a little watered down, and her father looked at me basically and said that my brother is an alcoholic, so we take alcohol very serious in this family.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Nick. That, you know, you tried. You were trying to make a good impression. You didn't know? But yeah, that didn't go so well. Are you still together?
No, it was, that was, no, yeah, we are three years now. We have a baby on the way in March 7th.
So you, bottom line, you went for it, you lost, but it came back around. Do they like you now, Nick?
No, I'm forever known as the sarcastic boyfriend that doesn't take life serious.
Oh.
Well, maybe this year you'll go for genuineness, Nick. You'll talk from the heart. Well, how do you think about that idea?
I can't. I'm sarcastic and I like humor, so.
Okay, well, I feel like I totally understand what you're saying, and maybe start giving hugs. Funny hugs, sarcastic hugs.
Nick, I know where you're coming from, man. I appreciate you. I'm going to give you the suggestion to go authentic this year, but I appreciate the fact that that's a big move for you.
Thanks.
You got it.
Appreciate it.
All right. See, now I used to kind of be that dude. Sort of kind of.
You did?
Well, I just, you know, in an effort to be liked, I would try to be the funny guy.
Right.
You're a comedian, Jen.
Yeah.
You can relate.
But I sort of did the opposite of, I tried to be super genuine, and so then everyone's weird aunt would corner me. I'm the one that gets cornered, and they're like, you know, they want to work out their issues in the corner with me.
How does that go?
I'm there for a long time, and I end up, you know, feeling like I need a drink.
So then you don't have a good time at the party, but you took care of someone else.
Right. I'm a caretaker.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
I might have to give you Lou Malnati's.
I'll take it, Mark.
Jazzy and I, we might have to hook you up.
Oh.
312-981-7200. Your holiday nightmares. I'm going full week.
That is a long time. So are we talking full week 5 days, full week 7 days? It makes a difference.
I'm leaving on Sunday night, coming back Saturday night. What is that? That's a 7 day.
That's a 7 day.
Let's call it 7.
Yeah.
The worst part for me is the meals.
Why?
Because everyone's has to order in such a. I would like the dressing on the side. I'd like some lemon in my water, but I don't want too much lemon.
And don't give me enough. I don't like ice, but maybe a little ice.
Right. I can't do it.
I will lose my mind.
I just, you know, I can do a meal.
Right.
But
you're going to do three. That's 18 meals.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And it's, you know, and I want to. Let's go. Let's get her going. That's the biggest challenge. So. That's why there's alcohol. But I'm trying not to, you know, I want to stay at least moderately sober.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see. 312-981-7200. Kevin, you got an excuse? Kevin?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, Kevin. What's up, man?
Good. So anyways, my wife's family has a Christmas party every year. I used to go to. But she has one aunt that every year always waits to have surgeries until, like, the holidays so she can show up at the party, you know, wearing her, like, when she had carpal tunnel and she wears the wrist braces or bunion surgery and she's got the boot on or whatever. So, like, 3 or 4 years ago, she shows up and she's carrying around one of them inflatable donuts she sit on. And we heard the whole night about her hemorrhoid surgery and how it had three in and two out.
Yes, I love her.
That was the last Christmas party I went to with my wife's house.
I think I am the aunt. That could be me in about 3 years.
Wait, she was sitting on a donut and she had a hemorrhoid surgery? That can't be true.
Yes.
And she talked about
it.
And
true.
Three in and out.
She goes, oh my God, yeah, I had my surgery. I had three hemorrhoids in and two out. And oh,
I don't even know
worst.
What that means and I don't want to know.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I know, that's what I said too.
I
guess there's hemorrhoids in and out. There's two different types.
Oh.
Two different types of hemorrhoids, I guess. In and out.
as far as
I can tell.
How old is this aunt, Kevin? Just paint a picture here.
Like in her 60s, late 60s.
Mm-hmm. Do you speak with her? Do you sit next to her? Is it an opposite room situation?
I do the
Do you
whatever.
Shimmy on out?
I have to say hi, yeah, and say listen to her story real quick and go, oh, and there's Uncle Jim. I'm going to go say hi to him.
You know, you do the shuffle, the relative shuffle.
The obligatory, you know, hey, how's it going, so I could hear her story. And
Kevin, you call up and talk in and out hemorrhoids on GN. You get Lou Malnati's. Hang on, man. We'll hook you up, brother. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you guys too.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Kevin, with the hemorrhoids. See, that's what I was looking for.
That to me, I am that woman. I think that's going to be my thing, is sitting on donuts pretty soon.
Sitting on donuts and saying you had. I mean, listen, if I had hemorrhoid surgery. I'm not telling anyone. I'm just not.
Really?
In my family?
Oh, that could be a whole... Yeah, that might not go well.
I mean, maybe I would.
You know people would be talking about you behind your back. Like, he brought a donut to sit on?
I mean, I'm pro talking about what's going on in the world. And your world.
And being...
And your backside.
But not yours.
That just seems like something that you might want to keep to yourself. But I listen, Kevin's aunt, God love you. You go for it. 312-981-7200. We got more Lou Malnati's we can give you, by the way, if you got something as good as that. Susan's got an office party that went wrong. You're on 720 WGN. Susan, go ahead.
Hi. I was working for the Schubert Theater at the time I was in college, and a friend of mine was working for a bank building across the street, and she drank too much and fell asleep under a desk, and the night watchman found her, and then they called us because I was the only friend nearby. So I ended up taking her home. She was kind of a big girl. And we went to a Lincoln Park walk-up, which I was living in. And then she didn't remember anything. She fell asleep on the couch with all her clothes on and only woke up to the smell of coffee in the morning.
Did you stay with her all night?
Oh, it was my apartment.
Oh, she went to your house. Okay.
Right.
The sleep under the desk move is kind of creative. I mean, if you're... not in a state of remembering anything, but you were able to get yourself under the desk. I mean, it's just too bad the cleaning crew was still working.
Yeah.
I kind of respect the move on a very basic level there, Susan, but you know, unfortunately, you had to come to the rescue.
Yeah. You saved her.
Well, I don't know.
Well, because
that's
if she...
friends are for.
Yeah, I guess so. But if she had stayed under the desk and the next day, was there work the next day? Because can you imagine waking up and everyone's coming in for work and you're under a desk? Then how do you get out and how do you play that off? That's not going to go well.
I don't know. Somebody found her, so I don't know how that would have played out.
Yeah, we don't have to go there because you saved her.
Susan, you're a hero. We love you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. The holiday horror stories.
Do you have any office, not here, this office, of course, but any office holiday party horror stories there, Mark?
Yes. We'll do that after news. 720 WGN. Little Christmas season, little Christmas music.
It's beginning to look a lot like
this
song.
You like this one?
Well, when my mom would be losing her mind at Christmas and yelling at all of us, my father would go, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." And that's how we knew Christmas was in full swing. My mom was losing her mind.
Do you have one of those cool families where everybody sits around the piano or the guitar and they all sing and everybody gets like really into it? I'm super jealous by those families.
No, that's not my family, but in my dream, that's my family.
Like, isn't that a great family?
Yeah.
Have you got music and song and, you know, there's dessert and there's coffee and there's tea and there's some...
smiling people?
Yeah.
Not no crying, no drunk.
Yeah, that's not what's going on where I go.
Yeah, me neither.
We're doing Christmas horror stories with your family and like how to get through it and trying to strategize it. 312-981-7200. You got in a fight with who?
Okay. A little Paris Hilton aside.
This is Jen Bosworth, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm Mark Harmon.
I'm Jen Bosworth, and I worked for Nicolas Cage for 7 years.
Wow.
As an assistant. And we went out for our office holiday party, and I had probably, 10 cocktails. And Paris Hilton was there. It was a fancy Japanese restaurant. Paris Hilton was there, and I didn't like the way she was walking. She flounced through like she owned the place. She probably did own the place.
She did.
And I told my coworker, I'm going to punch Paris Hilton in the face.
And did you?
No, because I couldn't stand. I mean, I literally had trouble standing, but I just had a rage in me towards her that I don't know, jealousy. I don't know what it was, but they had to hold me back. and I fell over.
If I was a woman, I'm pretty sure I'd be jealous of Paris Hilton on some level.
Yeah.
I mean, she gets all the attention.
She's got money, right. Fame, attention. What's right. Not to hate?
Right, but you're just as beautiful, Jen.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Look at that.
See, I'll come with it. 312-981-7200. Lori, your coworker punched Santa. Is that true?
Yeah, I did. But,
oh,
you know,
you
she's nicer looking than Paris Hilton.
Oh.
What happened with you, Lori?
Well, it was a work party, and it was a luncheon, and there wasn't supposed to be any alcohol there, but a whole bunch of the warehouse guys snuck in some booze. The head of HR was dressed as Santa Claus. When they found out who it was, somebody punched him in the nose.
Oh, so you didn't punch him. Someone punched the head of HR in the nose who was playing Santa?
Yeah, and needless to say, he spent Christmas at home. He gets fired.
Yeah, pink slip city.
Yeah.
Would you say that, do you still work for this company, Lori?
No, I don't.
So would you say then, what we got to do is, well, it sounds like that, yes, that person did deserve to be punched.
Yes, that's what we, that is.
Keep it clean here, team.
Yep, keep it clean, everybody.
There's a lot of words in the language that you can use without.
Absolutely.
Using that one. All right, 312-981-7200. We are, speaking of keeping it clean, we should warn you that in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to move on to a man that I like to call the Don, and we're going to talk about the schlong.
Speaking of keeping it clean, I'm scared to even say it.
Well, it's everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, it's on every national network.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll ask Esmeralda if it's okay, because she's kind of the voice of reason. Can we say schlong on the air, Esmeralda? You're normally on this program.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Esmeralda.
I mean, it's been done. You just said it like three times. So.
So now, yeah.
The police haven't come
in
yet.
Schlong's out of the bag.
Well, yeah, he should be fine.
Okay.
Okay, good. And the reason why we're saying it, if you missed the latest from Donald Trump, who's going to be the president of the United States?
I mean, maybe. Could be.
It's pretty amazing. Jasmine, do you have that, what he said about what happened to Hillary Clinton back in 2008 when she lost to the current president of the United States, Barack Obama? Because this was Donald Trump with
rant.
Amazing comment.
And she got schlonged. She lost. I mean, she lost. But I watched her the other night. It was hard. It was really hard because there were a lot of other things on better, including reading books and reading financial papers, which I actually enjoy reading.
See, now, wait, let me just get it one more time from the Don. What exactly happened to Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump? Tell me one more time. That and?
Yeah. She got schlonged. She lost. I mean, she lost. But I watched her the other night. It was hard. It was really hard because there were a lot of other things on better, including reading books and reading financial papers, which I actually enjoy reading.
Now, can you imagine? This guy is running to be the president of the United States.
Of America.
And he goes with
schlonged. And we were saying, that he verbed it. So he put it into a verb form.
Right. It used to be a noun.
And now it's a verb.
I've never heard it used as a verb.
No, he I think he coined it. He coined it. So, you know, the thing is that we were talking about, too, is that this is actually, he's actually in the lead in the polls.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy.
I mean,
he's going to run the country. He's going to run the world. He's the Don.
How is this possible?
I don't know. But his numbers keep going up.
They go up. They're not going down.
So it's a very, it's really kind of, I found one thing today, Jen.
Okay.
That I really kind of enjoyed about Donald.
Okay.
And we'll do this coming back. And we also want to take your calls. 312-981-7200. We want to know how it's possible. I think that's one thing we want to know. B, are you embarrassed? Like, is it embarrassing to the country?
Right. Are you embarrassed that this is actually a possibility?
And what does it say about where we're at? That this, I mean, here, we, and we've got a bunch of other stuff that he said. We'll recap it all. I mean, we got all sorts of Trump sounds, all the best of them coming back.
The best of Trump.
The best of Trumpy. But it's a simple question for you. Like, there's some numbers out there about the embarrassment factor with Donald and what it means for all of us. 312-981-7200. We're segueing from the disaster of a Christmas party
to the hair disaster.
To the disaster that's running for president. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
Trump. It's the summer of Trump.
Trump predicted it.
Trump's really smart.
Trump is right.
It was Trump.
I'll take the credit.
They need Trump.
Trump, I like you.
I love Trump.
Trump is my all-time hero.
As Trump, I can say, the only thing constant is Trump. It's all Trump all the time on television.
You OD on Trump.
Don't you dare say that about Donald Trump.
Trump doesn't make it. Won't that be a terrible thing?
Trump.
Do you want a rock star?
Kanye West
loves Trump.
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 Is that enough, Mr. Trump?
Nope.
Everyone say Trump.
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 There you go. Our own tribute to the Don.
That was fantastic.
You know, I'll say one thing about Donald. And by the way, the text already coming in. 312-981-7200. The best thing about Trump is that he isn't that something Hillary. We currently have the most embarrassing president in office.
Wow.
So much anger out
Venom.
There.
Venom.
Oh, yeah. 312-981-7200. Who's voting for Donald? And tell me why. I want to hear why.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are good, so people have reasons.
Yeah, these are the numbers, by the way.
Okay.
This came out today. You're Jen Bosworth, I'm Mark Carmen. This is 720 WGN. The Donald said that Hillary got schlonged today, so we're talking about him, which is embarrassing, but we're doing it because that's what talk show hosts do occasionally. Let's see. Donald Trump, was reading this today, remains the Republican frontrunner, but half of American voters say they would feel, quote, embarrassed to have Trump as the country's president. I would go further than embarrassed. I find it nauseating and disgusting and beyond gross. But that's the word they used was embarrassed.
Right.
Survey shows that 28% of Republicans back Trump as the party's nominee. Ted Cruz has 24%. Marco Rubio with 12%. Dr. Ben Carson with 10%. Let's see. Asked if they would be embarrassed or proud if Trump is elected, 50% of all registered voters suggested they would feel ashamed. That includes 20% of Republicans, 47% of independents, 82% of Democrats. 23% of voters responded they would feel proud to have Trump as the country's leader. That is one quarter of this country would feel super proud to have the Donald leading us to somewhere.
People, I mean, what is it?
I
want people to call in and tell us, what is it?
I mean, mainly it's fear, right? I mean, the people are terrified. They think that, you know, they're not going to be able to leave their house without something terrible happening to them.
So it's a fear thing.
Right. Listen, the world can be a dangerous place.
Scary place.
Of course, it's more likely that you get hit by lightning than that you're involved in a terrorist attack.
I
think it's important for people to realize that. And living your life in fear is a bad way to go. But I get it. People are scared. I mean, it could happen. It can happen anywhere. It's been proven time and time and time again.
That's true.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that we lose all our values, does it?
I don't think so. I don't think it means that we just lose our minds. But, you know, but so if you think of what a quarter of the country, you said, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
A quarter of the country.
Proud.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
Here we got some Donald cuts for you from recent love. Let's do cut two, Jasmine, when he talks about Hillary going to the bathroom. I love this one.
I know where she went. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting. Let's not do it. We want to be very, very straight up, okay? But I thought that wasn't that a weird deal? We're ready to start. They were looking. They gave her every benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, it's ABC, and she practically owns ABC. She really does.
So now you just talked about a presidential candidate who owns a network, according to Donald. And he's embarrassed that she went to the bathroom.
Yeah, and it's disgusting. I mean,
I sometimes don't believe that women actually, because you guys are so beautiful, you ladies are so beautiful, that you don't actually go to the bathroom. Do you go to the bathroom?
Never.
Jasmine, do you go to the bathroom?
Unfortunately, yes, Mark, so you might think I'm ugly now.
Esmeralda, do you go to the bathroom?
All the time.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. So that's disgusting. She went
that's
to the
disgusting.
I mean, what is he, 3 years old?
I don't, it is almost almost like, and I know people, this is sort of like a no-brainer, but it's a caricature of someone, right? It's a Saturday Night Live sketch. I just don't understand what's happening.
Hey, Rob Martier, does your wife go to the bathroom?
Yeah, on occasion.
When you're at work,
is that
maybe?
Gross?
When, of course, she asks my approval.
That's why I love you, Rob. How about?
Yes, she goes to the bathroom.
How about let's go old school? About remember when we go back to 9/11, which is, you know, it's probably like a sensitive topic, I would think. You know, it's 9/11. People lost their lives. This was Donald talking about who was the president then.
And I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down.
When you talk about George Bush, I mean, say what you want, the World Trade Center came down during his time. If you look
Hold
at
on,
Sandy
that,
Hook,
you can't blame George Bush for that.
He was president, okay? Don't blame him or don't blame him, but he was president.
I mean, what? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, the don't blame him or don't blame him. What are you? It's like gibberish.
The guy loves attention. I'll give him that. And he's gone out and gotten a ton of it.
Yep.
Right? I mean, is there anything to read it? But that's fine. Like, whatever. Be a reality TV star. Dye your hair whatever color his hair is. Go to the tanning salon 3 times a day. That's all. Hey, make tons of
You're
money.
You're just describing Paris Hilton, by the way.
Right, but like the fact that 25% of the country would be proud if this guy was the president.
I mean, what does that say? Does it mean anything?
Who wants to be the voice of reason on this? Martier, I could see you angling into the microphone.
No, not at all. I mean, the guy's highly entertaining. He's feeding red meat to the base. What do you expect him to do? That's exactly what he... Look, this guy, I doubt, has spent a dime out of any campaign funds he may have, certainly not his own money. He has not spent a dime on advertisements. He is getting all the free publicity that you could possibly want as a presidential candidate. And all he has to do is open his mouth because there's Fox, there's CNN, there's MSNBC.
Tonight he was on, I think, Jimmy Fallon, or he was on tonight on one of the television shows.
In a kind of a weird sort of macabre way, his plan is brilliant.
I mean, my guy.
I mean, it really is.
My guy in the 847, Trump has no filter, kind of amusing. But does he want to be the president?
Yeah, does he really want that job?
Or does he just want all this attention? Like, honestly, how little attention did he get when he was growing up, right?
Right.
What went wrong here that he needs, like, who, it's not normal to want this much. I like to be seen and heard and the whole deal, but I mean, come on.
For everybody freaking out about this, the moment of reckoning comes when you step into the booth and you see the names staring back at you. I guarantee you a lot of the people who say that they're unequivocal Trump supporters right now will certainly have second thoughts as the primaries start hitting them in the faces next year, beginning with Iowa. And then
you don't think he's getting the nomination?
He's leading in the polls now. I would be surprised if he gets the nomination, and here's why. Of the polls that have been put out nationally, Real Clear Politics poll, which takes all of the polls into consideration.
Those are some smart people, Real Clear Politics.
At this point, they have Rubio, and believe it or not, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, as the only two candidates as of right now who have a shot at defeating Hillary Clinton. So if the objective is to defeat Hillary Clinton, then the RNC, it would behoove them to start getting behind those two.
Can I get cut five after real fast here, Jasmine, about his thoughts on Mexico and Mexicans? This is a good one.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Drugs, crime, rapists. Those are the Mexicans that are in this country, according to the Don.
Well, there was a shooting in San Francisco of a beautiful young woman by a guy who had been deported, what, 5 times? I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I'm unfamiliar with that story.
Me too.
Well, I will find it for you.
But I definitely think that it is people like this guy. I don't know what's going to happen when people are in the booth, but this he's right in that all the publicity, it's free and people love, I think, you know, the reality show and his, it's like a circus and people love to watch circuses.
Her name was Kate Steinle. She was shot in San Francisco by a gentleman from Mexico who had been deported at least 5 or 6 times, got his hand on a gun and shot her to death on one of the piers there in
San
Francisco.
The point being what?
Well, the point
I would
being,
like to know
point,
how many more
listen,
are
well,
there.
Just hang on.
That's the question. There, how many more? Just the one or
there,
how many?
There are actually a lot more, and a quick Google search would allow me to uncover those. But here's the point I'm making. There is a shred of truth in what he is saying. I don't like the delivery. I don't like how he says it. But there is a shred of truth in what Donald Trump is saying.
Which shred would that be?
The fact that some of those people coming across the border illegally have nefarious intentions. They're bad actors. They're not good people. Not all of them. In fact, I'd say the vast majority of them want to get here to provide a better life for themselves and their family. However, there are those that come across illegally that are doing bad things.
Right, but I mean, how many people in this country have nefarious intentions right. that were born here, the whole deal? What are we going to do?
But, look, it. When you come here illegally, it is still illegal to do what they're doing, and they know that, and they're taking advantage of a lax system. That's all I'm saying.
Let's see here.
Wow.
I didn't mean to bring things to a grinding halt. I'm just there's a shred of truth in what he's saying.
I hear you, and I think that there are a lot of people. I don't think you're alone, and I think that's part of what makes this country great is that we've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Wait a minute. I'm not alone, meaning that you're putting me in the Trump camp.
No.
I do not want Donald Trump to be president of the United States. I really don't.
No, you're not alone in the fact that there are a lot of people and that this system that we have currently, I totally agree, is totally flawed in terms of that.
I, too, find it difficult to grasp that Trump is in it to win it from the 574, but it is true. When we become subjects of King Donald, I hope to escape before we are all drafted. The Donald's taking us down. All right, Rob, we'll get you into your last newscast, get you on home to Mrs. Rob, 720 WGN. Yes.
The force is with us.
It is.
Strong with this one.
It's with you, Jen Bosworth.
And you, Mark Carmen.
And you, Jasmine Cooper. You, Esmeralda Leon. You, Rob Martier. All of us. As we move into 2016, we have a very... Have you seen... Okay, let's start at the top. Are you a Star Wars fan?
Medium.
Okay.
But I can get into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really respect those that really go for it.
I got the first three I was in. I'm with you. I feel you. I can get into it. I haven't seen the next three.
Well, let's recap. The yes. first one, obviously, Star Wars.
Yes.
Second one, Return of the Jedi.
No. Oh. Return of the Jedi was 3.
Okay. Empire Strikes Back.
That's 2.
Okay. Jedi 3. What happened after that?
I don't know. They went forward and back.
Was Hayden Christensen in one? Is that his name?
I'm sure he was.
Okay.
Outstanding talent.
Okay. Yeah, he really went far.
Growing up, 1976, I was 3, so I don't really remember. I believe it's called A New Hope. This is going to the Star Wars nerds out there, let's just get it out there right now. I apologize for not knowing it as well as I should know it.
Right, because people might call you
but
on
it. I can't get myself to like really get into the whole details of it. But I did, listen, Han Solo was the coolest man ever.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate him.
Very good looking.
Princess Leia, oh my God. I mean, even now. God bless her.
Yes, that interview I saw with her and her dog was quite something. She'll say what she wants. I like it.
And then, listen, Darth Vader, one of the great, great villains of all time. And then our guy, Yoda, with the wisdom.
Yep.
The whole brilliance. But here's a simple question for you. 312-981-7200.
What's that question?
I want the Star Warsians to battle it out here. Who was the biggest badass character in the history of Star Wars?
Good to know. So who are our choices?
Well, we got a lot.
We got Yoda, who I love.
Yoda's got to be there.
We've got Hans.
We got, yes. I mean, Harrison Ford and Han Solo's got to be in the team.
Got to be.
You got, I mean.
What about Chewie?
Chewie's got to be in the mix. There's no doubt. Luke.
Oh, man. They're all pretty cool. So wait, how many altogether are there movies? Do you know this?
There are seven. The Force Awakens is number seven.
Okay. It's lucky number seven. Okay. So we have. But I want someone to tell us also what went wrong between what happened in this gap, because we went from this is supposedly the best movie ever, right? This Force, number seven.
We're reawakened. The Force Awakens.
Okay, so we're all getting awakened.
Yes.
But if you want to call, because I am also I need to be educated at 312-981-7200. Can we be a little educated on the lapse in? Greatness that there was, because there was a gap there, but now we're supposedly back on top. Our force has reawakened.
Well, the whole world's going to go see the movie, Jen. Okay. And I mean, I don't know if there's a 2 a.m. showing at the AMC down the street, but I'd be willing to go with you if there was.
Okay.
On some level. I don't think.
On some level?
Well, it's a little bit late. And yeah. I don't think that we really want to make that move. But if it was like, let's just say.
Okay.
That you really wanted to go.
Like, I was like, we have to go.
Yeah, I do it.
Do you think there's a 2 a.m. showing?
No.
Okay. But well, I think, then we're safe.
But if there was, there would be people there. I mean, just make a compelling case for the most badass character in all of Star Wars. Because we were having this discussion at work myself. You got, I mean, even a Jabba the Hutt. I mean, the guy just hung out and he had all his servants and he had.
He was kind of a king.
I mean, he had it going on in his own little job away.
He really did. He had a bar. Didn't he own the bar? I don't know what's happening.
No, that was a bar.
Okay.
They had some funky music going on.
Yeah, they had some good tunes, and he owned a lot. So, okay, so we got, I want to write these down because I want to keep track. We've got Jabba.
Yes, and there's like new characters too out there that I don't know. Like, people are texting
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, like Jar Jar.
Who's Jar Jar Binks?
I don't know. The guy looks one of the.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy looks like I don't even know what that thing looks like. It's kind of like
Jar Jar Binks.
Yes,
I don't even know what that looks like. I gotta look it up.
Esmeralda, do you know what Jar Jar looks like? Are you an expert in Star Wars? Because I mean, it's sort of like a.
He looks like a lizard.
A lizard?
Like a. Yeah.
Like a gecko or something? Yeah, I got to look him up. I'm looking
tall
him up right now.
Gecko? Oh.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a stupid guy. He doesn't really do anything.
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, so he's like
he's
Jabba.
He's not bad.
Oh.
No, he's not bad, but he's, I don't know, he just kind of flops around.
He's a layabout.
Causes trouble.
Who's
but like in that, oh, I did something bad.
Who's your,
whoopsies.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest badass, Esmeralda? Isn't it a great question? I think it's a very tough, really
thought provoking.
You got it because on one level, like I want to see Yoda. The guy's got all the wisdom of the world. Like that's the dude that I'd want to hang out with. I want him to be my grandfather.
I want him to be my guru.
Right.
You want Yoda to be your grandfather?
Yeah. Well, is there anybody who's ever said anything more accurate in life than that guy?
That is true.
If it is a guy,
there is no try.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Darth. I mean, the guy terrified the living daylights out of me.
He did, but he didn't say much. But maybe that adds to his. Yeah, he was a heavy breather.
Luke.
I was more scared of Jabba.
He was terrifying too.
Really, but he couldn't. Could he really move?
But he had people on chains.
Right. Didn't have the mobility.
That's true.
Key factor. 312-981-7200. Biggest badass in the history of Star Wars. We got. I love the first two calls coming in. One on one side, one on the other. One that says not a geek. The other Star Wars guru. Let's go with the nerd first. That's you, Gary. You're on 720 WGN. We love you, Gary.
Hey guys.
Hey Gary.
I wouldn't really say I'm a Star Wars guru, but I mean, I do. I think I can fill in most of the voids that you guys are having with the movie timeline. And then, first off, the real Star Wars nerds don't ever mention Jar Jar around them because they'll get pissed. Jar Jar's not a favorite character.
So Gary, Jar Jar is a no-no. Jar Jar, no-no.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stop with that.
Any true Star Wars nerd that I know does not like Jar Jar Binks because he was just that real annoying character throughout the movies. The prequels, people pretty much hated him.
Right.
But you have to. You also have to put Boba Fett in the mix because don't forget, he was the bounty hunter that went and captured Han Solo, and froze him in carbonite for Jabba the Hutt.
Oh.
Oh, look at but, I'm loving this. I'm being educated.
Well, see, but think about that though, Gary, if you're trying to if you can please answer our question. I mean, you had Hans coming in there going full Frozen and then came back and just was a terror. Maybe he's the all-time top of the lister.
Well, I don't know. You know, usually the true badasses don't get themselves caught by the bounty hunters.
One of the great comments of all time by you, Gary.
Ding, ding, ding. What about Billy D. Williams?
I love
Gary.
I really don't know. I think his character ended in Return of the Jedi. Oh. I'm not sure. I don't remember what happened. He was the guy that betrayed Han, and I can't remember the name of the planet, but it was Cloud City. But then he had second thoughts about it because the Empire was going to destroy his city, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then he turned around and helped him out. Carrie Fisher was going to kill him.
Yeah, he can't be in the running then because he didn't even.
Bad. No.
He's done in Jedi, so.
Gary, we got to get.
He was kind of a coward.
Gary, we got to get some more callers. Do you want to answer the question before you go? 312-981-7200. You want to cast a vote?
I'm going to have to go with my right end Boba Fett, the bounty hunter.
All right. Okay, Boba Fett, the bounty hunter's in. Thank you, Gary. You the man.
Hey, no problem.
Love that energy out of Gary.
Gary knows what he's talking about.
Gary's all in. I love Gary.
Yep.
312-981-7200, the greatest badass character in the history of Star Wars. Don't ruin the movie for people who haven't seen it yet, including the two of us here.
No spoilers.
Alex, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Alex.
Hey, how's it going? It's Alex. Not a nerd, but biggest badass, not a major character, but is always quintessential to virtually every saving scene, R2-D2.
Oh. I like your style, Alex.
I love that call.
You
need to get a door open? Who's there?
Yep.
You need a lightsaber injected to you? Who's there? You need him to fly your plane? Who's there?
Alex, that's a brilliant point.
And not only does he fly the plane for you, but like when the plane's in trouble and he's getting short-wired the whole thing, he just hangs in there, and then he comes back strong.
Right, and he gets dented and bruised.
Who picks the warp drive in the Millennium Falcon?
R2-D2.
R2-D2, that is brilliant.
Does that make C-3PO just a complete wimp?
Medium?
There's a word for it, but we probably shouldn't.
Believe me, I knew that word. That's why I was amazed that I was able to skillfully throw a wimp in there, Alex.
So my vote goes to
R2-D2, that's a good one.
Question, what is the jump between the first three and the second three?
Yes.
The number in sequential 1, 2, and 3 are horrible. 4, 5, and 6 set the bar, and 1, 2, and 3 never lived up to the bar.
What, did you see 7?
I have yet to see 7. I'm actually taking my kids on Tuesday to go see him.
You're a good dad, Alex.
May the force be with you, Alex.
Force be with you, Alex.
R2-D2.
Okay.
Thank you. 312-981-7200. A little more Star Wars for you. We got a couple of good ones coming in on the text line. One that we haven't mentioned. The biggest badass character in the history of Star Wars. We're trying to figure that out. That's what we do. 720 WGN. A lot of people moving on Boba Fett for the biggest badass in Star Wars history.
Yeah, a lot of people. I don't even remember, but I mean, I'm old. How are we supposed to? I guess people rewatch and rewatch and rewatch, right? That's the thing with these movies.
Well, when cable TV first came out, at least as far as I remember, it was nonstop Star Wars.
Yeah, I think I'm remembering this.
Right?
We had cable, when I was about 10, we got cable, and it was all Star Wars, that and MTV all the time. All the time. So Star Wars, okay, all right, Boba Fett is winning, actually.
Yeah, he probably is. But listen, my favorite text that's come in, and there's been a lot of good ones, and R2-D2 was a very compelling call, 312-981-7200. But we haven't mentioned Obi-Wan, the voice of wisdom. I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's who I want to be my grandpa.
I mean, that's a better call.
Don't you think?
I mean, I had Yoda, but like Obi-Wan, that's actually.
Yoda's more like a spiritual being.
Right.
Obi-Wan will totally pick you up from gymnastics and take you out to dinner and offer wisdom.
Right. You'll sit down to dinner with Obi-Wan and he'll be like, listen, that girl is not for you.
Yes.
That girl is not for you.
Exactly.
Your husband is a nightmare. Divorce him. And you'll know that he's right.
You're like, do not buy the Kia. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, Obi-Wan could change your life.
Yeah, I agree. So that might be my vote. He's very close to the Dalai Lama.
He really is.
So I like the Dalai Lama, so I'm voting for Obi-Wan. What about you? You still haven't made up your mind.
No, I think I'm going with that texter. Although, I mean, like, there's more coming in, no question, Vader, which, I mean, Darth Vader deserves the respect that he deserves, right? I mean, that he gets.
I agree.
That, I mean, it's a tremendous villain. I love Vader as much as, because I hate him, and I love him.
Yeah, right.
Because in the end, he took care of Luke.
He did.
I mean.
He redeems himself.
He does. He did. And
see, the thing is, we haven't seen the new one.
No.
So we don't know what, I think we got to go at 2 a.m.
You know, maybe we do.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy that I do the beat with on Saturdays. His name is Connor McKnight.
Yeah.
Don't know if you ever heard him. He's the biggest Star Wars nerd going, or one of them at least. And before the show on Saturdays, he looks at me really sternly and says, listen, I don't want any Star Wars talk on the show. I'm going tonight. I know somebody, if you bring it up, it says, and saying don't talk about it, they're going to text in, they're going to ruin the movie for me.
Wow.
I mean, he stared me down.
I mean, it was serious business.
Oh, it was, there was no faking it.
Not a joke.
So, just know that we're not.
No, given, there's no spoilers, because we don't know what's
right,
happening.
But we do feel like we, you know, we're capable of at least having this portion of the conversation on it. Because, listen, as far as things go right now, the hottest things in the world are Trump and Star Wars.
Right.
And
We finished Trump.
Which, by the way, we did. And Bernie Sanders had some great comments on
it. Oh, yeah. I want to hear them.
We'll do that. Let's get one more call in on Star Wars. His name is Joseph. He wants to rep Vince. Go ahead, Joseph.
Joseph?
Hello?
Hi.
Joseph, you're on, pal.
It's Vince.
Oh, Vince.
Oh, Vince.
Hello, Vince.
Yeah. How you doing? How's everybody doing tonight?
Merry Christmas, Vince. Thanks to...
Merry Christmas. First, I want to chime in and say Han Solo, hands down.
Okay.
Cat around. But I wanted to comment on a caller, a couple callers ago, who said what's his name? Billy Dee Williams' character was a coward.
Oh.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, comment.
Take
yeah, he's not a coward. I mean, the guy flew the Millennium Falcon in The Return of the Jedi. In one of the biggest fight scenes, and blew up the Death Star.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a coward.
I don't either. That is not the definition of a coward.
Did you think that, right. Vince, are you saying that Billy Williams call was kind of color-based? Because I feel like that was unfair, and I feel you. I'm with you.
Yeah, I just say, you know, people saw that he had to cave in to Darth Vader. He didn't have no choice. I mean, you caving in to the ruthless villain of the Empire.
Right.
So, I mean, he had to do what he had to do, but he came back, he looked out for his boy, and
he
went in, took the baddest ship. That's why Han Solo is one of the coolest guys and the most badass characters around. But he took his ship and led the whole battle and took out the Death Star.
You know what? I would like you to review every movie I ever want to see. I'm not kidding. I like your review, and it's very concise, and you make a great point.
Vince, do you need help with your repairing your holiday light sets? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good on everything. Everything is straight.
What about your pizza needs? Do you like pizza?
Oh, yeah, Chicago style, anything, deep dish, whatever.
All right, I'm sending you to Lou Malnati's, Vince. That call's too good. You, little holiday spirit coming right at you, my friend. That was too strong.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put you on hold. Thanks, Vince. You're the man.
All right.
Now, that was strong.
That he, you know what? And it was like, it was very, very concise and thought out, and also just right on point.
I forgot that Billy Dee came back around and took
he
it to
He redeemed himself.
He took it to the house.
Yep.
And that's what he did.
I mean, he was responsible for blowing up the whole planet. Or the ship. Is it a ship?
The Death Star.
Is it a ship?
No, is it a planet? That was a planet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you had to shoot it in the smallest, tiniest of holes to take it down, and they got it done.
I remember that.
Right. Yeah. That was a good...
I like him awesome. A lot. Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got to get to news, and then when we're coming back, we're gonna switch up the flow for you, and we're going to... Get you rich, or get your kid rich.
Get your kid rich, probably.
Yeah, but
it's too late for us.
It is too late for us. Although I might make an attempt to try to change some things around here. We'll explain that coming back after news, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Happy holiday season. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Jen Bosworth.
I am. We are.
We are about to take your kid into Hollywood as we... I want a couple more of these texts coming in that I think one that absolutely deserves, as far as the biggest badass in Star Wars history.
Yeah.
And now we got people texting who just left the theater. You didn't have to do that, but that's fine. I'm probably the only person that sees it. The biggest badass is the Emperor. I mean, the Emperor was terrifying.
That pale, scary man.
Yes.
Oh.
Right?
That's like a grandpa you don't want.
No, that guy was absolutely
terrifying.
He was. All right, let's bring in our first guest of the evening, and we got a book out, and it's called Confessions of a Casting Director.
We're on talking with Jen Rudin. She's a casting director, and thanks for joining us.
Sure, happy to be here.
So you are a huge casting director that has written this amazing book, Confessions of a Casting Director. And I read it a couple days ago, and it's fantastic. And why don't you just let us know, just tell us a little bit about how you got into casting and, and what your experience has been casting these major... You're a Disney Channel caster, right? You cast...
I worked at Disney for 7 years, and now I have my own company, Jen Rudin Casting, but I still do continue to work with Disney Junior on animation projects, the Disney Channel for some of their pilots, and still work on some of their feature films as well. But I grew up in New York City, and I was a professional child actress from age 8 to 17 back in the 80s, and I always wanted to be a casting director. I hated the audition process. I found it so stressful. Tell me one actor who actually likes to audition, and I'd be actually shocked. So I pretty much knew I wanted to work in casting at an early age. And then during my years in college, I interned for some casting directors here in New York. And then after I graduated college, I did pursue my acting for a couple more years, only to realize how much I did not want to be on that end of the table and how I wanted to work in casting. So I made a really conscious decision to leave my acting career behind and work in casting full time. And here we are all these 15 years later. I think it's been 20 years since college. 15 years as a casting director, and it's fun. And the book became a reality because when I worked at Disney, I saw so many actors come in to the audition room and just blow it before they'd barely been in there for more than a minute. And I started taking notes about tips and tricks that I would like to offer actors if I only had the chance. But of course, in auditions, there's never any time. No time at all. Hardly any time to even say hello and give an actor an adjustment. So I started keeping these notes, and then HarperCollins published my book. I turned 40, and there you go. My life story.
Jen, this is the first time we've spoken, and I'm sure you can instantly tell how talented I am. And back in the day, my folks, you know, they didn't do the proper things to make me a child star actor. I think I could have been big on, you know, I don't know, Good Times or The Jeffersons or anything you want to pick back in the day. I think I could add a role. What's your advice to parents who have a kid that actually they think has talent, and I'm sure most parents think their kid can be there, and that's a whole nother conversation. But those who actually have that talented kid, how do you go about it?
What should they do? Well, it's such a huge topic that we devoted an entire chapter in the book to stage parents. It's chapter 10 of Confessions of a Casting Director. I actually originally pitched this book to HarperCollins for just stage parents because I've worked with so many young actors over the years, and I've seen so many things happen in the audition room with the kids and the parents, and I wanted to offer a good practical advice book for parents. But it ended up that we wanted this book to be for actors of all ages, and I put all of my my information into one chapter. The bottom line is, if a complete stranger who has some credibility comes up to your child in a restaurant and notices that they're really precocious, they have a great outgoing personality, they're super cute, and gives you a business card and says, "Hi, I'm a talent agent or a casting director, and I think your child has some potential," potential, that is a good sign. But it's very hard for parents to be objective about their child's talent. So I think if they are in the school play and 12 people come up to the parent and say, he was incredible in Oliver, or she was unbelievable as Annie, then you might start to think about possibly taking it to the next step. But I like to tell stage parents there's really no reason to get hysterical, and yet many people do right away, and it's very hard to rein them back in and try to get them to be in some sort of reality. So I always say to parents, bloom where you're planted. So if you live in Connecticut, do all of that local theater, the dinner theaters in that area.
Yeah.
Don't go crazy, move to LA or New York based on the fact that you think, you know, you want to have a career, because it is time consuming and it does cost money. And it's not like signing up for the soccer team where you're guaranteed to play 10 games a season, and here's your uniform. There is absolutely no trajectory for this terribly challenging career that your child may want to be involved in.
So my question also is, is it so different? You are a New Yorker, yes? Is the market different? Does it vary wildly? So if parents are listening and they're like, I'm deciding between New York and LA, are they two totally different animals, or is it all the same sort of deal there with casting?
They are two completely different worlds. There's also a chapter in Confessions of a Casting Director, my favorite chapter that I wrote, which is called Los Angeles versus New York, Navigating Freeways and Subways. That's chapter 11, because the cities are so different. New York is a theater town, and LA is much more film and TV. And as an agent once told me, for every 700 actors in New York, there's 7,000 in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And those 7,000 are going to be prettier than you, taller than you, blonder than you.
Right.
So there's so many more actors in L.A. than New York. They're very different cities, and both cities are fantastic, and both also are very challenging in terms of navigating and getting around and setting yourself up. So I do think you do move to New York if your child ends up in a Broadway show, but they're not going to pay for you to make this move to New York. You have to make yourself a local hire. I also think, I mean, you guys are in Chicago. There are so much great theater happening in Chicago. There's so many TV shows that are now filming there, like Empire and Chicago. I was going to say Chicago Hope. I'm not sure.
The Meds, the PDs, the Fire.
Yeah, those are all shooting there. So there's great talent agents in Chicago. So there's wonderful opportunities for kids to stay local without going and making this drastic move to one of the coasts. We always went to Chicago. When I worked for Disney Broadway, we often went to Chicago when it was time to do any open calls for Mary Poppins Children or Lion King, because there's so much great talent there. So I think people should just stay local and pursue what they can do in that area before they take this risk and uproot the whole family to New York or L.A.
Jen Rudin is with us, the longtime casting director, studio executive, who's going to change my life. Jen, you mentioned, you know, you hit 40, and I'm at least somewhere right around that, if not exactly plus two on it.
Yeah.
For somebody who perhaps is, you know, the part-time radio guy and dreams of being Brad Pitt, what's the path that I need to orchestrate to get myself to the next level? Let's just make this about me here, Jen, if you don't mind.
Okay. How can you make Mark a star?
How can I make Mark a star? Well, listen, it's harder for grown-ups, I'll be honest with you. I will always meet a new child actor who's trying to break into the business. I'll always meet a new 10-year-old, because 10-year-old kids today are tomorrow's 12-year-olds. It's harder for adults, and training is really important, and I think people want to pursue their dreams and don't realize that you do need training to sustain 8 shows a week. You do need training to know how to act on a movie set when you're filming and it's 2 in the morning and you've been waiting around for 9 hours, how to sustain that energy. And that comes with training, and that comes with the discipline that you need to perfect your craft. Like anything else, like training for a marathon or playing soccer, you have to keep at it. And for adults, again, I would say stay local, act local, do your community dinner theaters, do some local commercials, try to put together a demo reel of some film clips or TV clips that are remotely coherent and also legitimate. So that means no home movies. That means college films, university films, student films, sometimes a webisode if it's appropriate and well edited. Try to put that together. And these days with the internet and technology, people can be working from wherever they are and try to gather some reel. But you do need to it's like a catch 22. It's like you can't book these roles until you have experience, but you can't get experience until you book the roles. And there's no recipe for any actor. It's also a lot about who you know. I mean, like any profession, it's networking, it's meeting casting directors and agents, and building those relationships.
Right, but those life casters are popping up all over the place. I mean, people that have done nothing, but they know how to present themselves on YouTube or whatever, and they end up with 2 million followers because they're, you know,
that happens.
I mean, this stuff
doesn't mean that they have talent, though. It just means that they've used the technology to make themselves known. And some people get hired up based on their YouTube followers. It's sad but true. We also have we put a chapter in the book about technology called "Don't Tweet Us, We'll Tweet You," which is all about YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and how to use those technologies to be a professional actor and not to use them for bad, but how to use them for positive for your career.
Jen, let me ask you a question. I'm an actor. I love my agent. When I was younger, I went to a theater conservatory, and I just want to say, was this as bad as I think it was? I went to an audition, and they asked me to slate, which is to state your name, and my name is Jen Bosworth, and instead of Jen Bosworth, what came out of my mouth was, "Hello, I'm Ben Josworth." And nobody laughed, and it was a big audition for television. Nobody laughed but me. Here's the thing. Was it really as bad as what I feel like it was?
I think it was great.
Oh, well, you got nervous. And again, with kids, I'm nice to all actors because I'm empathetic and I'm a kind human being and I'm sweet. But I would have had you start over and I would have acknowledged your choice. But you know, the thing with casting is that we're in these auditions for days and days and days. We're sometimes seeing 60 actors a day. So when it's your time to come into the audition room, you've got to have your life together. You've got to be organized. You have to have your personality intact. My mother always says to have a cup of coffee and find your personality, which is something I put in the book, which means you just have to get yourself ready to walk into that room and prove to the casting director and the director and producers that you are hireable for the job. And so if that means you have to stand out in the hallway and, you know, breathe deeply and do yoga or something to kind of get yourself together, once you walk into that room, they're judging you from the second the door opens. And that's just what it's like, and it's a harsh reality.
That's so horrifying.
It is horrifying, but you can do what you can do to prepare. You know, an actor can show up on time, know their lines, be prepared, and walk in giving it the best audition they can possibly give, and then leave and get on with their day. That's my advice in the book. That it's to be prepared and then to move on, and not to harbor and wait and hope and yearn to actually book the job, because that's
out of our control, too.
It's out of your control.
When I turn my career into my acting career, I am going to do a nice downward dog right into the room.
And I'm not espousing for anybody to do yoga in the waiting room. I just mean whatever you need to put on your headphones, listen to some quiet music, breathe deeply, and get yourself organized so that when they do call your name, you're ready to go. But yes, no yoga, no strollers, no video games. No strollers meaning don't show up with your whole family and babies.
Oh. Yeah.
I've seen all that.
What's your advice to the parent out there that has the talented kid but doesn't want to ruin his kid's life? Because there's so many stories out there of, you know, child actors who then end up in whatever rehab or whatever it is. I mean, everybody has their own life process that could happen if you're not a child actor, but you get where I'm going with it.
Yeah, it really has to start in the home, and the parents have to remain calm. They've got to make sure that their children are enjoying the audition process. They also need to not put pressure on their kids. So they need to say, "Did you have fun at the audition today?" And that's the best question they can ask. And as soon as it's not fun anymore, as soon as it's painful and anxiety producing, and the kids say to their parents, "I don't want to go to the audition. I want to be with my friends. I don't want to miss the birthday party. I want to just be in eighth grade." That's when you stop the audition. And I have a lot of friends from my own childhood acting days that stopped and just played soccer and had a normal teenage years, and the rest of us kept on trucking. So the parents have to, it's your child, and your relationship with your child is far more important than any fame or fortune or TV show. You've got to have a relationship with your child the rest of your life. So see if the kids really want to be doing it. Make sure that they're having a good time and make sure that they're prepared, but also let them go in and have fun, and then don't guilt them, don't threaten them,
Sort of let them
you know,
be.
just let them be and be a good parent. Yeah, and that's the most important thing, and have them be kids.
Before we let you go, I want to know what's up next for you. I know, obviously, you're promoting this amazing book. Are you still casting? Are you going to cast?
Yes, I'm still casting. I actually have I just worked on the new Porsche 911 voiceover campaign. So that guy is mine. And I've got these Charmin commercials that run with those talking bears. My animation stuff. I've got a new animated feature coming out called Rock Dog, starring Luke Wilson and Matt Dillon and Lewis Black and Kenan Thompson. Lots of fun people.
Like Lewis Black.
So, yeah, he's really fun. So some animation stuff down the line. That's my pitch. Peter Bogdanovich's movie did come out this summer called Squirrels to the Nuts that I cast, starring Owen Wilson, Jennifer Aniston. You can watch that on demand.
Okay.
Onward to 2016.
You have a website, right? People can check
I do.
Out.
My website is jenruden.com, JENRUDIN.com, and you can purchase Confessions of a Casting Director on any of the buy buttons there, and put up a nice review on Amazon. I've got a gazillion reviews up there, and it really...
I will be doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thanks. That's awesome. And, for everybody in 2016, it's a new year to start over. Be proud of 2015. Make some concrete, manageable goals for 2016 and get out there and just be prepared at your auditions.
Absolutely.
Hashtag Hells Yeah. I like that one. Jen Rudin, Confessions of a Casting Director. Buy the book or she will hunt you down.
Yes. And thanks so much. And thanks so much and have a good 2016.
Sure. You too. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's Jen Rudin on 720 WGN. The book, once again, Confessions of a Casting Director. I highly recommend changing I'm going, Jen, to do some, I'm going to take acting classes and
yoga?
And yoga to combo that up.
Just together.
Yeah, and I'll plan something more in the break and we'll come back and we'll figure out how we're going to transform our lives because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Okay. 720 WGN. One thing you got to like about working the holiday season.
What do you gotta like?
I mean, we don't have a lot of commercials tonight, Jen.
We don't.
We got some freedom here.
We got freedom and we got good music.
Thanks to our casting director. What do you think? You think we got a shot here?
No.
You're just telling me that you want to be in a Star Wars movie even though there's not going to be any more Star Wars movies. Is this true? This is like a secret desire of yours?
Yeah, I would love to play like Carrie Fisher's wayward cousin. I'm like a wayward Jedi who ends up in rehab. How about that? That sounds exciting. Tie it into the child star thing.
No, I like it. Any association with Carrie Fisher.
You love her.
I do. I mean, I think everybody loves Carrie Fisher. Certainly a young Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
And
what about her as her?
Her aging. Let me take that. Let me just say that her aging process has been fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, she was more attractive when she
Wait
was younger.
A minute.
I don't think Carrie Fisher would argue with that.
Okay.
By the way, I want to shout out the Jackal right now. Jackal, you're the man.
Okay.
Good guy listening who All also right. works at the station.
Hi, Jackal.
Jackal's going to like run the world.
Okay.
But yes, Carrie Fisher, you were related to her, and that could take you. What's the biggest film you've ever been in?
A film or TV? I was in ER for a while.
What was your role in ER?
I was actually a drug addict.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Hey, I was a drug addict.
I just saw something across the old Twitter feed talking about how somebody called 911 because they needed rolling papers for their medical marijuana. No. Hashtag go for it.
Hashtag awesome. I love that person.
All right, Jen.
Simmer down, everybody.
Where did you go to college?
I went to DePaul.
University of DePaul? DePaul no. University?
DePaul University, the
Blue
theater
Demons?
School.
The Blue Demons? Oh, DePaul.
No, DePaul.
DePaul.
They have a good...
You're calling it a theater school?
They have a great conservatory called the Theater School.
I see.
Anyway, went there.
My father went to DePaul.
Really?
Oh, Jen, I didn't know that either.
Did you go there?
I'm going there now for my master's.
Are you really, Jasmine?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I went there, too.
What? Yeah. What? And I say that again. What? What?
I once saw a basketball game at DePaul.
Okay. Your father, your brilliant 90-year-old handsome father.
That's right. He got his law degree at DePaul.
Wow.
Undergrad, I think, well, he was at Western Illinois. Then he went into the war.
Which war?
WW2, baby.
Oh, my God. Your dad is a WW2 vet?
Yes, technically. He was He was a 17-year-old Fred Karman. He enlisted in flight school at Western Illinois. He wanted to be a fighter pilot, but then they dropped the bomb and whatnot, and he was sent over on cleanup duty. That was his role. So he never really saw any combat, but he did have a blowout in his Jeep, and he was.
What do you mean, a blowout? A tire?
Well, his tire blew out, and he was. And this is a true story. He was supposed to bring back the liquor for the officer party. My dad was a officer. He had an all black, what do they call it?
Platoon.
Right. He wouldn't use the word platoon. There's a company. Thank you very much. Wow.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not.
That's okay.
My military talents are minimal. But anyway, he was bringing back the liquor.
Important stuff.
Huge, right? And next thing you know, the tire goes, and he's on some road somewhere. Which is pretty kind of terrifying.
Scary.
Right. Well, he was so nervous about not bringing back the booze that he just went into commando role. It's like, you got to take me back. And he was like wielding guns and the whole thing because he had to get that booze back.
That's a brilliant story. Yeah. I like that story. Mr. Karman.
Yeah, Fred Karman got the maker's mark. He got it back to, you know, they had their maker's mark, Jack Daniels, whatever they drank back then. Some sake.
I don't know.
That was how the war was won, Jen.
With Saki and Maker's Mark.
Yes, Fred Karman won the war.
Fred Karman won the war. I like that story. I like your dad. I wish he was here in the studio.
He's I'm going to be spending a whole week with him coming up here. That's how we led off the show.
Yeah, it's coming full circle.
Let me tell you, we're gonna have a big week here. It's gonna be a whole nother scene for the Karman family.
I think it might be good to live tweet the Karman adventure.
Not
do
a
you
bad
tweet?
I do. If you follow me on Twitter, the next person that follows me on Twitter, I'll hook you up with something. At the Karm. Yeah. I need followers. If you follow me on Twitter, then my opinion of myself goes up. Now, I know that's wrong, but the more followers you have, that just validates you in this whole media world.
I agree.
So don't you? Do you have a, what's your
I
Twitter?
I do. It's Why Not Me the Show, which is strange. I have a solo show. But anyway, Why Not Me the Show? I have some Twitter followers.
How many do you have?
I think I have, I want to say 1,000 or two.
Let's double check what Jen Bosworth has on Twitter.
Oh, no.
At?
I think I might have Why Not Me the Show.
At Why Not Me.
Maybe I have 1,000. Maybe I'm lying.
If I catch you in a lie here, this is, oh, no, here we go. Jen, you're looking strong.
Yeah.
Hang on.
100.
No, you got an 874. Oh, that's not. That's
I thought
not,
I had 1,000.
No,
what are you at? 5,000? 10,000?
I'm following you now. You got 875.
You got 875.
You lived in L.A. for 6 years and didn't kill myself. Hooray! Writer and performer, radio host at WGN.
Yeah.
XO. I think you should put in another XO. XOXO.
No, I just like XO.
Really?
Yeah.
But like, why not a little extra lover?
I don't want to be an extra lover.
Jasmine's shaking her head. She only likes an XO too.
Are you an XO person?
It's either or. I'm just not a fan of Twitter. So.
Oh.
I think it died with me, and I've gotten more into Snapchat.
See, she's young. I don't even know what Snapchat is. You do, though, Mark, because you're up on that stuff.
I mean, Snapchat's great, but you got... Why?
What is it?
Snapchat means you can take pictures of yourself and just, you know, be like, what's up? Right, Jasmine?
Yeah.
Didn't I just describe it perfectly?
I don't even
understand. So it's like Instagram...
Meets
Instagram on crack. Like, basically, it's like you could do 15 seconds of basically what you want to say or whatever.
Oh, it's a video situation.
And then, like, it times it where you can make, like, funny faces and stuff like that and send it to not only, like, people that you talk to on Snapchat, and you can also make your profile private, and it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
I didn't like it at first. I hated it at first.
I didn't mean to interrupt there, Jasmine. I'm sorry, but I just got so excited because...
How many do you have?
I'm at 6,896.
And he says he has no followers.
6,896. That's not really a lot. And
how many do you want? Millions?
I want like 50,000.
You want Trump numbers?
Yes. Well, that's not...
Let's not go back there.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Okay.
Next thing you know, Rob Martier will reemerge. Yeah. I love you, Rob Martier. My 6,900th follower, that means I'm just trying to get to 6,900 tonight. I'll hook you up. That tone means we're late for news. We have a one-minute timeout, and we're coming right to you, Esmeralda, 720 WGN. WGN, the 1 o'clock hour underway. Congratulations to all my new followers. I love you all. Oh. I do. At Christine Harsh, you're the bomb. at Jack Stevenson. I see you, Jack Stevenson. You look good out there. John Wolf, the Wolfer, at City Possum. There's nothing better in the world than a good taco, an ice-cold PBR, and a few miles on the bicycle.
Wow.
See, this is what happens when you file at the Carm. You just get thrown out. Gary Johnson, I see you, buddy. Zach, the pencil at the Pencil Aquarium.
That's an interesting name.
It is. Josh, guy goes by Josh. He's got a sick tattoo going on.
Wow.
At Wat Rianu. And then Rachel Mermel, the Merm City Merm. I love you, Rachel. Do you want followers? Because people are texting.
No.
They want to know about you, Jen. Jen, I'll follow you on Twitter if you tell a Nick Cage story from the 630.
I have a Nick Cage story.
Will you tell it?
Yeah, I have millions of them. So my favorite Nick Cage story is this. I worked for Nick Cage for 6.5 years. And
how did you get that job before you go any further?
I worked at a bookstore called The Bodhi Tree, and which is a spiritual metaphysical bookstore. And
what?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
They sell books on cleansing and Ayurveda and astral travel.
Wow.
Things that may or may not be real. And so came in and that worked at the office. They liked me and they said, you know, would you want to work? They didn't tell me who it was for. They said, would you want to have like a better job where you don't get paid? I remember I made $8.25 an hour.
It's not bad.
Sure.
I've worked for free, $8.25 more than for free. By the way, you're Jen Bosworth. I'm Mark Harmon, 720 WGN. I don't think I said that to start the hour.
No, we haven't said that in a long time.
It's very important radio, 720 WGN. You're Jen Bosworth. I'm Mark Harmon. I'm sorry. You made $8.25 an hour at the bookstore. Go ahead.
And anyway, I got hired. I went to an interview. I didn't know who it was for. They kept it secret. But I walked into the office, and there was every single Nicolas Cage poster on the wall. And so then I figured it out. But I went to an interview, and I didn't know who it was. So I did that, and that was pretty exciting. But my favorite story is, and I've told it on Nick's show, but I have not told it at this hour.
Nick DiGilio
coming up next. And anyway, he didn't, because he's a movie star, Nicolas Cage did not know some basic information about his own life. So he would call and say, Jen, it's Nick. What's my phone number?
Are you kidding?
Nope. And I'd say, you know, we're at three, you know, whatever.
He would call you and ask for his own phone number?
Yes.
God, I really want to be a movie star.
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah. You'd have a lot of followers, Twitters, whatever's then. Anyway, so my favorite question was this. Ring, ring. My job was to answer the phone. So I answered, Jen, hey, it's Nick. What's a deli?
No. Come on.
Yes. What he didn't know exactly what a deli was, whether it was fast food, a restaurant. And I, you know what I said? I didn't know what to say, Mark. So I said,
were they sell sandwiches?
Well, no, I said something crazy. I said, cause I was on the spot and I didn't want to make him feel, you know, dumb. So I said, a deli is like a diner with a more Hebrew flair.
Not bad.
But that led to other questions, and it didn't go well. So that was my Nick. That's my favorite because it just sums up L.A. to me. What's a deli? You know what I mean? Like in the Midwest, no one's going to ask you that.
You know that he was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I do. Of course. I know everything about this guy because
That's true. I forgot that he was in there.
He was in Valley Girl.
Was Raising Arizona his best movie?
For me, probably my favorite Nick Cage movie is actually... Leaving Las Vegas.
Okay.
Sad, but true. The story, you know, that's a sad story there. Did you like Raising Arizona? Is that? It's all right.
Some people go Raising Arizona like it's an all-time classic.
I don't agree.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It's not my thing. Anyway, I like depressing. It's not my jam.
It's not your jam. That's what Jen's been saying to me all day. It's just for namesake. That's not your jam. What is your jam? Yeah, you asked me that. And you're like, you're in sports, right? I love Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
That was another one of your stories.
Yeah. I love me some Phil Jackson. I don't know what it is because my dad was a basketball player.
He was?
He was 6'8.5".
Your dad was 6'8.5"?
Yeah, Swedish guy. Played college basketball, and that's it. Never went further than that.
Hey, that's that deserves props.
Anyway, so yeah, that was my Nick Cage story for... a texter there.
Fair enough. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. And by the way, the more Twitter followers, the merrier. At the Carm, I will continue to throw out the love here. We have we got something fun coming for you back here because I did something today, or earlier today, although now it's yesterday.
Yesterday.
That I put my life on the line, Jen.
Really?
I did.
Were you? Did you put out a fire?
No, I didn't do that. But we'll explain it coming back here. My life was on the line for a bad reason, but I did it.
Okay.
Which is kind of sad, but yet it was very satisfying.
That's a good teaser.
It is.
Right there.
I hope so.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree.
Ooh, jazz.
Oh my gosh. It's taking it to a whole other situation.
It really is.
I'm liking it.
Is that a thing? Nookie around the tree?
Is I don't even know what that means.
Yes,
I mean,
you do.
I do, but I some people, we could ask, if we ask the listeners that, it's going to go in a whole interesting direction. But
I mean, it's adult radio at this point.
Yeah,
the kids
true.
Are asleep, Jen.
Oh.
Is Nookie around the tree a thing? 312-981-7200. Congratulations to my new followers. Barb Felton, I see you, Ada Priner, Carl A. Krogman, the Kroger,
the Krogmeister,
the Krog City Krog, Drew Prawl, WordPress and e-commerce website design and development, Android and iPhone application design. Carl, you're smarter than me.
Yeah, Carl, you.
You go, Carl.
Go, Carl.
312-981-7200. All right, so this is what Jen.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you almost die?
Well, okay, so I'm, you know, you're in radio, you pay attention to the news. So I knew damn well, actually, going into lunch yesterday, with my options, that, you know, Chipotle's having some issues here.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, we got...
I mean, it's not even issues, it's deadly.
Yeah, people are dying.
It's not just an issue.
I mean, their stock went from like 700 to 500.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was just yesterday, my friend.
No, it's a, I mean, when you go E. coli outbreak.
I mean, it happened twice.
Right.
Once I can understand, but twice. Okay, so you were thinking, okay, I've got lunch coming up.
Yeah, Chipotle stock took a beating again Tuesday in the wake of the news that the restaurant is killing people. No, I wouldn't say they're not doing that.
Not
on purpose. Just weeks after dozens of its diners reported becoming sickened by a rare strain of the bacteria. Centers of Disease Control said that it was looking into an outbreak of a different DNA fingerprint in the Shiga toxin producing E. coli. I
knew all this. Right.
All right. I walked right into Chipotle, because that's where people at work were going, walked right up to the counter, and I'm like, so are you guys good with that E. coli? And she, I mean, the person working looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, because that you are crazy.
And I'm like, what has the least E. coli here? Because I can go chicken.
Can I have E. coli, diet E. coli?
I can go steak.
No, it's the lettuces.
It's the lettuce?
I think it's in the water. Anyone know? I don't know, but I don't think you're safe at all.
Well, how long?
And is it catching? Because I'm next to you.
Well, hold on a second here.
It's all right. But my question is, you knew all this, and what do you just have a death wish, or you were like?
No, I just love Chipotle.
Oh.
It's so good.
You're going to love it to death.
What about Qdoba? Chipotle's second.
I mean, Qdoba's good if you could say it, but it's not as good as Chipotle.
I mean, it doesn't have E. coli.
Yeah, it's got to count for something. All I'm saying
what's
wrong? How are you feeling now?
I got a little bit of a stomach pain on the right side, but I think I'm okay. But I mean,
so what did you have? What'd you eat?
I went steak because I wanted the chicken. But the chicken would have taken 6 more minutes, and I was unwilling to commit to a 6-minute wait. So I said, give me the steak burrito, light sour cream, both beans.
Both beans.
I go pinto and black. Gotta go double. And then I, you know, get a hot.
Did you have lettuce?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well there you go.
I'm gonna say that pain in your stomach might be the double bean choice.
Instead of the E. coli.
Yeah.
At least it's not Ebola. I get those two confused. But E. coli, so, okay, so why did you go? Just because you love it? You don't care?
Well, see, what happened, this is, you know what's an important word in the English language to learn? I think it's no.
Oh.
And
Oprah says it's very important.
I had a salad at home. I was good. That's what I'm trying to, you know, I'm going away with the family, going to a little Florida. Want to be able to wear the old bathing suit type of...
A Speedo? Is that what's happening?
No, I don't know about that. Let's not be optimistic.
Let's not get crazy,
yeah,
Jim.
No, no.
Okay.
But, you know, I want to be in... Going to be playing a bunch of tennis, want to be in shape, the whole thing. I mean, this is the type of person
okay.
I am, Jen.
All right.
So I was trying to have a nice, healthy approach eating.
Oh, instead of...
But then they said Chipotle, and I couldn't help it, and I got all involved and ended up with a steak burrito.
And then a slight case of E. coli.
And now it's all over.
Well, at least you won't have to go out of town with your family.
That's a good point. I'm kind of wondering.
I mean, this is crazy.
Are people still going to Chipotle? 312-981-7200. I'm probably fine, right?
No, I think your Twitter followers are going to chime in here. Tell them that you're probably fine, but why? It's amazing to me that you didn't just say, "Hey, maybe I'll go to Qdoba."
It's not the same.
Really?
There's only one. And you look at the states that have been affected by the Chipotle. I mean, Illinois is in there.
I know. I saw the thing.
There's a case. There's one case in this state.
It's called Mark Garman's case.
I mean, there could be two. There's two.
There's about to be two.
Two in Minnesota, one in North Dakota. Ohio had three.
Now,
Pennsylvania, two. Oklahoma, three. California's had three.
What has the most? What state?
Oregon's got 13 and Washington's got 27.
Wait. Washington's got 27? What's going on? This isn't right in this day and age where we have, you know, all kinds of safety measures and this. How does it just slip through?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you work for Chipotle or a company that can explain to us why this keeps happening, please call us.
And I love Chipotle.
Me too.
I mean, it's delicious.
But I'm not putting my life on the line for a burrito bowl or whatever they're called. Is there a burrito bowl?
What about the tacos? Those are good, too.
I've never had the tacos.
Really?
There.
I normally go burrito bowl, but sometimes...
You just really went for it and had a steak burrito.
Oh yeah, it was no, I had the bowl.
Oh, you didn't do a burrito
with the brown. No, I go bowl with a brown rice, both beans, and then I get after it. Live a dream with a light sour cream.
No cheese?
No, so there's cheese in there.
Guac.
$5 extra.
Won't splurge for the money guac.
Oh my!
It's good
do you bring
for
your
you.
Own guac?
You think the guac's good for you?
Yeah.
It's good fats.
It's avocado.
All right, fine. From now on, I'm going guac.
Do that rather than the sour cream.
But if I'm going to go guac, I feel like I should go chips and guac side and then add the guac. And No.
Leave the chips alone. Just have some guac in your bowl.
They do a nice chip.
They do?
It's a nice lime flavored chip.
Oh. with a side of E. coli.
Texting in, McDonald's owns Chipotle. Yes, I'm aware. I know. Believe me. McDonald's is brilliant.
I mean, we know. They own everything.
I might have to go
they
McDonald's
own Twitter.
On the way home tonight.
Really?
Yes.
What do you get? I get chicken nuggets.
Oh, so good.
So good.
I'm a two cheeseburger.
Oh, you're the double-double. Or not double-double, but two cheeseburger meal?
Yep.
It's cheaper.
And it's just
$4.35.
Because I don't really like the burger at McDonald's, but like with the old soft bun,
the ketchup in there, yeah, little diced onions that aren't really onions.
I haven't been there in a while though.
Well, are you gonna do it?
I used to. this is a bad topic. This is terrible.
It's turning into something. I don't know.
What do you do when you get off Esmeralda at 5 in the morning? You got to feed yourself, right?
I go to McDonald's and get breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Or I'll go to a diner and get breakfast.
Oh, my God. That might be the move. There it is.
Yeah. I've gone to Lou Mitchell's a couple times.
Oh.
It's so good.
Do you have pancakes?
No. It's too much.
Oh.
I had corned beef hash last time. Oh, so good.
That does not make... I don't know if that adds up. Corned beef hash, not too much.
Pancakes too much.
Because that's protein.
Oh.
Pancakes, that's really filling. That's just dough.
Yeah, but it's so light and fluffy. And
delicious.
Yeah, and then it sits like a brick in your stomach.
And then you go to bed.
Perfect.
You go right to bed. You wake up, go to Chipotle, and get some E. coli.
312-981-7200. We will move on from the food conversation.
I guess so, yeah.
We're actually coming up after the 1:30 news. We're going to try to save the world. We'll explain that to you in 44 seconds, 720 WGN. 720 WGNM. Our Carmen, she is Jen Bosworth. Hope you're enjoying your pretty late with Patty Vasquez fill-ins this evening as we are taking you up to the Christmas holiday, so to speak. Time to bring in Amy Smith, who is doing great work. She's the manager for, responsible for managing, I should say, all the blood drives for the Heartland Blood Centers. Amy, I got to tell you, I'm a wimp. And giving blood is something where I need a lot of cookies, and a pretty face helps.
Are you a fainter?
I wouldn't say I faint, but I look away. But I know how important your cause is. So for those of us who are like, oh, my God, giving blood, that's not something I want to do, can you just give a little spiel on, A, how important it is, and, B, it's really not that difficult. You can handle it, even those of you who maybe don't love needles.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, the process is so simple. So stop being wimpy. You need to come on down here. We're at Woodfield Mall for the 12 Days of Giving. We've been here since December 18th, trying to kick off ensuring that we have enough blood through the holiday season and into the beginning of January. And we're doing wonderfully. We've seen over 600 donors already that have come out and rolled up their sleeve to support the local hospitals. Simple process, takes 5 minutes for the entire blood draw, and easy to do, and a free gift to give that costs you nothing.
Can anyone donate blood? I mean, is it just open? Is there an age limit so people know?
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely, you have to be 16 with parent permission, and we have those on site or at any of our donation facilities to be able to do that. You can be 17 without. You need to weigh 110 pounds and then minimally and also be in good health at the time of donation. And especially with the cold and flu season setting upon us, it's imperative that you are in good health. If you're on certain medications like blood pressure or diabetes medication, those are mostly acceptable, but we can answer any questions for you that you have when you arrive for your donation.
And you have an inspirational story, Amy, around your family and people who have donated blood that actually helped save someone's life who's very close to you, correct?
I do. I 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with the onset of preeclampsia, and I was at one of the hospitals that Heartland actually services, and I was transferred to another hospital to give birth to my daughter at 26 weeks. She was born 1 pound, 6 ounces, and obviously called a micropremie at that time, severely premature, and took 12 units of blood in the time that she was at the hospital at the NICU. So it's been a huge part of my life. I was working at Heartland at the time and was so thankful that we had blood on our shelves to be able to transfuse. And then my father-in-law and father also needed transfusions as well. My dad had a quadruple bypass heart surgery and needed several platelets and whole blood transfusions.
My mom received blood transfusions, and it changed her life while she was ill. It changed her life, and it made me see just how important it is that we all give, because you never know. You might think, oh, I'll never need blood. You know what I mean?
Or, sure.
But it happens. I mean, especially over the holidays, right? I mean, there's a...
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Jen, 40% of the U.S. population is eligible to give blood, and only 5% do. And what's even more staggering about that statistic is that 75% of us at some time in our life are going to need a blood transfusion. And so it's really difficult if we don't have that blood on the shelves to be able to support the patients in the local hospitals. You know, it can cause a crisis. There's no substitute for blood. It can only be done through, you know, volunteer blood donor system. And we serve 65 hospitals here in Chicago and Northwest Indiana, supplying 160,000 units of blood per year. And we need 600 donors every day to make that goal happen.
Amy, okay, this might be against the spirit of what's going on, and I know that you guys have the 12 days of giving blood, but, you know, when you put out those statistics, I'm thinking, well, how do we incentivize that the people do it? Not just out of the kindness of their heart, because as kind as people are sometimes, you know, they just don't do it.
Right.
So when you guys have those discussions, I mean, do you think there's ways, I don't know, monetarily or any other way that you think...
We certainly can't pay donors to give. It's a volunteer blood donor system, and we have to ensure our first priority is the integrity and the safety of the blood supply. So it's important that people know that there are, you know, rules and guidelines to ensure the safety of that blood supply. But for the 12 days of giving, for example, we've had some amazing sponsors, specifically the Chicago Auto Show 2016, our premier sponsor. They're giving a free auto show ticket for every donor that comes in
during the duration of the drive for the show in February. We've had Rogers and Hollins donate a diamond pendant that we're going to be raffling off on the last day of the drive. And Kinfork, a new restaurant in Woodfield, P.F. Chang's, and Jimmy John's, and several others have all offered different coupons and different free giveaways for our donors. So we're able to give those because they've been offered to us for an in-kind donation.
That's fantastic. I mean, so there is incentive. So if you go down to Woodfield, you give some blood, you might get a sandwich or even a diamond.
Yeah, you could get a diamond. And every day there's also a pearl necklace being raffled off. So we've already had four winners for that, which has been great. So it's just so imperative that donors take the time out of this busy season to come and try to help out. You know, we're about 30% behind our collection goal right now. So we're certainly looking for people to, you know, stop. I know the hustle and bustle with the holidays are busy. So even if you can't do it right now, we're going to be here until the 31st. And we're just asking you to put that on your calendar and make time to do it.
Amy Smith, who manages all the blood drives for the Heartland Blood Center, with us here, 720 WGN. And Amy, let it be known that I'll try to help you right now. All of us, we've got some little corner in our life where we feel a little guilty. You can rid yourself of that guilt. Go give blood. You say, you know what, I just squared myself off with that person that I didn't call right.
Exactly. Or not paying that bill on time. Whatever it is. Get down to Woodfield. And you guys also have, you have a number of centers. It's not just Woodfield, right? You can go to all
Absolutely.
Places.
Yes. We have 14 center locations throughout the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana area. You can call us at 1-800-7-TO-GIVE. We can help you find a mobile blood drive or a center location near you. Visit our website at www.heartlandbc.org. Or if you want to set up an appointment, we even take text. So you can text us to the word text GIFT, G-I-F-T, to 444-999, and we can go ahead and automatically set you up for an appointment. If not today, then sometime next week, and certainly we'll be here every day at Woodfield across from the Cheesecake Factory until the 31st of December.
Heartlandbc.org. I've got that right, Amy, right?
You've got it.
Okay. And then all that information that you just put out there for those who are not going to our podcast of you, they can find all that at heartlandbc.org.
That is correct.
Okay. I feel good about that. We've got the information out there. You're doing phenomenal work, Amy.
Thank you
so much, Amy. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate your support, and we look forward to seeing a whole bunch of your listeners down at our location.
Okay. Absolutely. We'll drive them there ourselves. Thanks for the time, Amy.
Have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
All right. You too. That is Amy Smith, once again, managing all the blood drives for Heartland Blood Centers and, you know, helping people.
It's important stuff.
It is.
Even if you feel like you might be a fainter, they got cookies, they got Jimmy John's. Go. You won't faint.
I mean, now that I know I can get a sandwich, I mean, that's probably all that it takes for me, Jen. We're back with more 720 WGN. Running the gamut tonight on 720 WGN. Get that blood drive going on. Jen, I like your passion around it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think she said it when she said there's no substitute for blood. Like, if you need it, that's it. It's the one substance. There's no fake blood. Right. Well, there is, but that's for costumes.
Like, be a good person. Donate some blood if you're eligible. I think it's...
Most people are.
New Year's resolution right here on December the 23rd. I will give blood in 2016. How's that? That
makes me feel better.
I feel better.
I was thinking we should go tonight and give blood somewhere, but it might not be so sanitary in the middle of the night somewhere.
You know it's going to be 2 in the morning when we get off. They're probably closed.
Maybe we could give blood at Lou Mitchell's. Lou Mitchell's might have a special.
I might stop at a diner on the way home tonight and treat myself. Where I won't be stopping, where I'd like to stop, is at this bowling alley.
Oh.
Do you like that transition?
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, so if you missed this story, it's kind of a fun one to sort of wrap up our night here. Nick DiGilio coming up at 2 o'clock. So, you ever, when you go to a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
Hotel.
Bowling alley.
Do you ever call up the, or do you ever dial up the internet and Yelp and give a review?
Never. Do you?
I don't, but I did work in the hotel industry for a brief period of time in between radio jobs, and I know how important, like, I mean,
it means something.
It means a ton. because if you're, because I'll read them if I'm going to some, if I'm like planning a trip to Mexico on the cheap,
sure.
Come whatever period of time, I'll read, you know, what people are saying about a resort. I'll try to.
Yeah, you know what? I will too.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is what happened.
Okay.
There was a bowling alley, and it's called Habletter Bowl, H-A-B-E-T-L-E-R Bowl.
Habletter Bowl.
The old Habletter Bowl. Outstanding. And Habletter Bowl.
Where is it?
Is located, as we give plugs, your 5250 North Northwest Highway.
Oh.
Beautiful Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. So Habletter Bowl gets a review.
Okay.
I am disgusted by this place. We come here every Tuesday, a group of at least 10 or 12. We spend at least $300 a night with food and drink. I'm sure the manager already knows us.
I'm sure he does, or she does.
Of course, today we are bowling. Of course, today we are bowling, and one of our friends does something stupid.
Oh.
Yeah, I understand we should have been kicked out. But did the manager have to kick all of us out and call him out in front of all of us, embarrassing him in front of all the customers? No! With a big exclamation point. Who does he think he is? Never coming back here. I will not have this establishment humiliate any of my friends. You lost our business, and I'll make sure all our friends tell everyone about this. I'd rather pay more for Diversity Bowl.
Oh.
But now, and now they have our business.
Okay. First of all, I have to say we got to get Jen Rudin on the phone because that was the best performance that you that I could ever. That was a great reenactment. You almost morphed into a 20-something woman.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay.
Jen Bosworth, by the way. I'm Mark Carmen. This is 720 Absolutely. WGN. All right. What I've never seen.
So that was a Yelp. She left that on Yelp.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So she's upset.
Yeah.
Apparently something went awry.
Something went really awry.
Now, normally when these things happen, the establishment does not respond. But Habletter Bowl responded.
Uh-oh.
Here we come.
I'm liking it.
Your review, this is recently, by the way, September the 11th.
Okay.
Your review would have some credibility had you been accurate and included all the facts. The long-running Tuesday evening $1 per game promotion was discontinued on September the 22nd. Subsequently, on November the 3rd, your party of 11 came in expecting to bowl for $1 per game.
First problem.
Your party was extremely agitated once they found out the promotion had ended and the cost was $4 per game.
$3 difference.
Three buckaroo.
That's a lot.
If you come in every Tuesday as you claim, how is it that you didn't know the promotion ended?
Drunk.
Nevertheless, by the way, you chose to bowl, as she continues. You concede your friend did a stupid thing. Why didn't you provide any details?
Uh-oh.
Please allow me to help you. Your friend decided it'd be a good idea to whip out his... schlong?
Can we say that? I don't...
I mean, Patty says penis on the show all the time. Yeah, but we'll go schlong and urinate on the carpet in front of a customer...
What?
...and a staff member. The old whip it out, urinate on the carpet maneuver. Trust me. Your friend did a fine job of humiliating himself.
Oh, my.
And embarrassing himself. He didn't need any help from my staff. Finally. You were all kicked out because someone in your party snuck a bottle of liquor in. Mm. Since no one had the guts to confess to it, everyone involved was removed. In the future, please try to be a little more accurate with your online reviews. As you can see, when you detail all the facts... In a review, it can change its complexion significantly. By all means, please tell all your friends who are in the habit of engaging in such egregious behavior, they are not welcome either.
Wow.
Perhaps instead of going bowling on Tuesday nights, your friends should enroll in a civil obedience class.
I was going to say that or try an AA meeting. So you know what? I'm liking it because a lot of people, I know businesses say there's really no recourse. Like if someone gives a horrible review of something, you really can't, there's no real rebuttal. But this rebuttal is fantastic.
Right?
This could be a whole, like a screenplay situation.
Now, if they were open at 2 a.m.,
you'd go bowling?
Right. 224 is texting in saying that, oh my God, it's pronounced Ha-bet-ler-bowl. My bad.
Hobbits? What's happening? Hobbit?
She's got H-A-bet-ler-bowl.
Hobbitler.
Hobbitler. Hobbitler.
Bette Midler. What's happening?
Regardless, bottom line, How about, we're giving you the love. 5250 North Northwest Highway. Don't take this from people. You can't be coming into bowling alleys acting like a complete moron, then going on Yelp to try to get back at somebody, and then go with the whip out move.
That's called that's called drunk yelping.
That's called 22, maybe 23.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right.
And no disrespect to 22 or 23. I'd love to be 22 or 23.
I wouldn't, but okay.
Really?
I was a mess.
Come on.
Oh my! I tried to punch Paris Hilton in a restaurant when I was drunk at 24.
Well, that's a little over the top.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But if you could go back and do it again.
I would probably still be a mess. But I would have better intentions and I wouldn't go punching celebrities. Because nobody likes that.
Yeah, listen, you're owning it, and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
But I like just as, you know, from all of us here at 720 WGN, congratulations. Way to step up there. And I think more.
You mean the bowling alley?
Yes. More establishments should do that type of thing.
Not be afraid of the bad Yelpers, because you have to. Yeah, this is your business and your life, and you have to take charge. I think that's the lesson. Give blood and take charge in 2016.
Right.
There's probably some other ones about Boba Fett or whatever his name is, but Boba Fett?
Yeah, yeah.
We never really finished that, but we'll get to it next time.
You're going to be on, Jen, coming up.
I'm on Christmas night, 11 p.m., filling in again for the lovely Patty.
All by yourself, right?
All by myself with Dan Long producing. I have some great guests.
I like to call him Downtown Danny Long.
Okay. Is he a Twitter follower? Let's get him on your Twitters. No.
I think Dan Long follows me on Twitter. I'm not exactly sure. At the Carm.
And when are you on?
I'm on right after you on Christmas night.
Hey.
It's going to be myself and Kevin Powell, who, if you don't know Kevin Powell, shame on you. But Kevin, of course, works on the Steve Cochran Show.
I like Kevin.
Kevin's a great man.
Yeah.
So
we'll both be here on Christmas night.
Yes, I'm going to come in early and give you a hug.
Please do, and talk a little bit.
Absolutely.
We can talk a little bit about, maybe we'll have seen, no, I'm not going to see Star Wars before then. I got big plans.
Do you?
No.
Where will you be spending the holiday?
At my house with 14 people.
Okay.
And then I leave to come to work.
Well, that's nice.
It'll be all right.
Are you putting the whole thing together?
I am making a turkey and a ham. I have no idea how to make either. It's going to be really interesting.
How did you get thrown into that?
I volunteered because I can't say no.
Well, good for you, though.
Okay.
14 people, a turkey and a ham. That's a big time move.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It's going to be really interesting. You can come over if you want. Oh, but you'll be away. No, not yet. When do you leave?
I'm in. You just invited me and I'm coming.
Okay.
Tablet or
bowling.
Me and the bowling. Ellie are coming. Okay. Well, I think we took
Chicago by storm?
Yes, and I think we took care of the bowling alley properly.
I do too. I think we stood up for the Habliters.
And another one of my New Year's resolutions for 2016
is
I'm going to be better at bowling.
I'm terrible. I'm like gutterball terrible. Do you have a technique?
Well, I do, because it's actually my greatest accomplishment from the University of Iowa, class of 1996, go Hawkeyes. You had to take four gyms. That was a requirement.
Okay.
I took like six.
Okay.
One of the six that I took was bowling. Okay. So I learned the four-step approach. Okay. And you had to, in order to not take the final, and I was a terrible test taker, so I was afraid of the bowling final. That's how bad of a test taker I was. I didn't want to take the bowling final.
Test anxiety, yeah.
Right. So in order to not take the bowling final, you had to roll a 150.
That's high, right?
150 is a decent score.
Okay.
It's not over the top, but it's not.
It's not terrible.
No, it's an accomplishment. A 150 is an accomplishment.
Okay.
So you have one shot at it. It wasn't like you could do it at any point during the bowling course. You had to do it on the day, roll 150. So it all came down to it. And my last roll, it was all on the line, Jen. Right there for
me.
Gosh. If I knocked like seven pins out, I would I'd have the
the all clear to not take the final.
I had to close out the frame, and then I had to knock down 7 of 10. You know, you get three rolls in the 10th frame. You might not know that.
No, but thank you.
There you go. So I closed it out with a nice spare, and then I had to roll the 7.
I'm really nervous.
Knocked her down, Jen. Don't be nervous. I think it was like 151, 152, and
that's fantastic.
It was really. I think it was my best moment at the University of Iowa scholastically. There were other great moments, like, you know, my first girlfriend, and actually, you know, doing things that
under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Exactly. There was that too, but...
That's fantastic. I don't even... I think my highest score is 54.
That's not good.
No. I just end up throwing it, and the balls are so heavy, and I don't know. It seems like a lot of work.
Well, it's more... I mean, it's the spirit of bowling is to go and have a good time. Yeah. What your score is irrelevant.
Oh, thank you. But you did really well. You didn't have to take the final.
I didn't have to take the final in bowling.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave here, and we're going to go to Lou Mitchell's, and then give blood, and then go bowling. Does that sound like a plan?
It's a great plan. It's an outstanding plan.
I'm ready.
We got a lot to do here. None of this is open, and we can't do any of this now. That means we're going to have to hang out during the day down the line here, Jen.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, we'll just have to make time.
Okay.
All right, final timeout, and we'll get you set up for the 2 o'clock news, and then, of course, Nick DiGilio coming up, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, we didn't do any sports tonight, except for right now, Jen.
Okay.
I know you're a huge Blackhawks fan. I know you have a massive crush on Patrick Sharp.
Who doesn't?
Dallas beat the Hawks tonight 4-0. That's not good.
I feel sad in my heart.
Well, it's okay. It's a regular season. Never worry about the Blackhawks. They'll be fine when the money's on the line. You like that?
I love that. I could tell you know your sports.
I do. That's home base. My guy, Joakim Noah, is going to be out 2 weeks. I just got to get this out there. Got to get off my chest. This is a phenomenal opportunity for the Chicago Bulls to get Bobby Portis, their rookie first-round draft pick, who they didn't expect to be there when they drafted. Everybody wants to see Bobby Portis play. Hashtag free Bobby Portis. That's been moving around on Twitter. With Noah out for 2 weeks, this is kind of a little bit of an... Now, Noah's a big energy guy.
Okay.
But we get to see Bobby.
Bobby the tortoise, Portis.
Everybody's down on the Bulls, by the way. They think that it's all over.
Right. You don't buy it.
I am still optimistic that that something good can happen this year.
What happened to Noah?
He dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, I thought he had plantar fasciitis.
No.
I really did.
Is that your favorite sports injury?
Carpal tunnel. But, so you think they're not out. You believe in them.
I think that there's so much negativity around the Bulls right now that I actually think that they'll, when push comes to shove, come playoff time, they will make it interesting. I'm not saying they're going to beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I'm not writing them off like everybody else seems to be. Christmas Day, NBA, Bulls and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a fun game. You should put it on at your party.
Okay. I'll put it on. Wow, you know your stuff, man. That's awesome. Next time, let's do a whole show about sports terminology for 5 million hours.
We could... Yeah, that seems a little bit over the top. But, but hey, I'm going to be here Christmas night. You want to talk some sports with me? Feel free.
Okay.
I'll bring my at least C-plus game.
You'll bring your 150.
That's right. I'll bring my 150. Jen, it was great working with you.
You too.
And you're back Christmas night 11 to 2. Yes. And you can follow Jen on Twitter at
Why Not Me The Show. I have 10 followers. I'd like to get it up to 12.
You're almost at 900.
All right.
You're on your way. Okay. All right, Jen, I'll be back Christmas night. I'll be doing the overnight on Christmas night as well. Thank you to Jasmine Cooper for all the help today. Thank you, Jazzy. You're the best.